Welcome to Science Film number 12, the most rare case of Tourette's, Skiffy Tourette's. With science fiction weaving its way into popular culture, everyone everywhere is looking for a bright and shiny future. However, not everything is rosy. Along with all its benefits and positive messages, America's young boys and girls are succumbing to the dark chapter for our next generation. The phenomenon is known as STS, Skiffy Tourette Syndrome. Dr. Davenport, a speech and behavioral specialist from overseas, has made the discovery and has studied this for quite some time. Let's hear from the good doctor.
Skiffy Tourette Syndrome is the result of persons consuming hours of science fiction material and focusing on the substantive words for cussing and swearing.
Or I'm fracking juju flop.
The mind takes this input and causes the patient to uncontrollably and sometimes violently speak words at loud volumes to the point of yelling.
Feldegarb!
Often the patient cannot
Frack!
Often the patient cannot gain composure of themselves until the seizure has passed.
Frack me!
Take, for example, this patient in this room. Lewis, how are you today?
Qingwa xiao de lu mang.
That was translated as, you frog-humping bastard. Of course, this makes no sense.
Shut up!
So there you have it, Mrs. and Mr. America. Limit your science fiction. This sacrifice isn't just for yourself, it's for you and the children and our country.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Shazbot.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Hear your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for April 4th, 2007. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am fantastic.
Try to keep your obscenities to yourself.
Shazbot. Nanu. That went really bad. Hey, I do want to say thank you to Scott Johnson for My Extra Life at My Extra Life Radio. I'm sorry, My Extra Life Radio at MyExtraLife.com. And JT over at the GigCast, they did some of the cussing. And, of course, Scott Johnson did the narrating. So I want to thank them for that, for their help in that.
Thank you very much, guys. Real quick, coming up in tonight's show, we've got Lego Batman video game, 101 great freebies in the geek library, the $100 laptop, or is it? And SETI finds something.
Things that make you go,
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
On this day in tech history for April 4th, 2007... This is April 4th. It's the 94th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 271 days remaining in 2007. It was on this date in 1581 that Sir Francis Drake completes a circumnavigation of the world and is knighted by Elizabeth I. The Greek aviator Emmanuel Argyropoulos becomes the first pilot victim of the Hellenic Air Force when his plane crashes on this date in 1913. It was on April 4th in 1965 that the first model of the new Saab Viggen fighter aircraft plane is unveiled, and NASA launches Apollo 6 on this date in 1968. In 1969, Dr. Denton Cooley implants the first temporary artificial heart. And in 1973, the World Trade Center in New York is officially dedicated. Microsoft is founded as a partnership between Bill Gates and Paul Allen in Albuquerque, New Mexico, on April 4th, 1975. The Space Shuttle Challenger makes its maiden voyage into space as mission STS-6 on this date in 1983. And President Ronald Reagan calls for an international ban on chemical weapons on April 4th, 1984. It was on this date in 1994 that Mark Andreessen and Jim Clark found Netscape Communications Corporation under the name Mosaic Communications Corporation. And Comet Hyakutake was imaged by the USA asteroid orbiter Near-Earth Asteroid Rendezvous on this date in 1996. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1646 to Antoine Guyon, the French archaeologist. And Joseph Nicolas Delisle, the French astronomer, was born on this date in 1688. French mathematician Edouard Lucas was born on this date in 1842. And Chinese mathematician Xingtong Yao turns 58 today. And finally, the actor who played Elrond in Lord of the Rings and Agent Smith in the Matrix series and so much more, Hugo Weaving, turns 47 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for April 4th, 2007.
You're listening to Chuck Tomasi, and this is Johnny B. with MostlyTrivial.com. Ain't he funny?
Hey, I wasn't on the script.
Ain't he funny?
Welcome back. Hey, one of the things I noticed on the on this day in tech history...
Yep.
Was holidays and observances. In Lesotho, it's Heroes Day. I'm wondering if they're like jumping off buildings and turning invisible and...
Yeah, they love the show.
Beating people up. They created a holiday around a television show.
Who I believe thought? I can fly. What?
Speaking of Johnny B, I got to tell you real quick. He gave me props. If you haven't heard his latest show, 103...
Now, I saw it come down. I haven't listened to it yet.
He usually starts them out with this character voice that he has that brings in every show. Like, close the door, it's show 104.
Right.
Well, they brought in show 102 the same way they brought in show 102. It was supposed to be 103.
Oh.
on iTunes, it says 103. And at the end of the show, he says, well, that wraps it up for show 103. But yet the intro says... You know, 102.
Okay.
So he re-recorded it and re-released it. And now it says, thanks to Chuck Tomasi, it's show 103.
Oh, I'm going to check that out.
Great short podcast. Very well produced. Thank you very much, Johnny B, for the props on that one.
Yeah.
Hey, only you
would catch somebody's show numbers incorrect.
Well, yeah. And then there's the show titles and spelling.
Yeah, but see, I'm like, I stick my iPad in the pocket, and I'm like not listening, paying attention. But here's Chuck going, hey, wait, and then does research. Last show was this one. This one's, that don't add up. I'm like,
I can't keep track of our own. Is this 164?
Something
I don't know.
Like that.
We're old podcasters.
If it weren't for the wiki, I wouldn't know or care.
Yeah.
Quick follow-up on the birthday gift. Hey, thanks everybody who chipped in and got the birthday gift. Mark Shepard, as I understood, led that off.
Yeah.
I opened it up, what was it, Thursday?
Mm-hmm. Okay, did you?
Yeah, package came in the mail, opened it up from ThinkGeek. Was it ThinkGeek?
It was ThinkGeek, yes, right.
And it was a leather wallet. Very considerate, considering the one I got for Christmas was stolen in Scotland.
Hey.
So I have a new wallet. Very nice wallet,
well,
as a matter of fact.
Wait. You think it's just a regular wallet?
It said the Faraday wallet black. And I thought maybe it was enclosed in a wire mesh cage or something.
Yes, it is. Because it actually blocks people from being able to read your RFID stuff in your wallet.
I don't have any RFID stuff in my wallet.
Well, if you did, it wouldn't be a problem. That's why we ordered it, man. That's why we got that one.
So it's like the tinfoil hat of wallets.
Yes.
Now I have a matched set.
You got a matched set?
Well, the tinfoil hat.
Oh, yeah, of course. What, did you not realize that? That's, why would we order you just a regular leather wallet for on Technorama, man? I'm only...
I'll have to let you know how it goes. Maybe, maybe, just maybe that will stop my, what is it?
Wait a minute. You had a passport,
when
right?
When we were at the expo, was it a security badge or something? Something had a very weak magnetic signal and it kept erasing our room keys. Remember that?
Yeah.
Somebody was passing out refrigerator magnets at the expo.
That's right.
In fact, we were friends in tech. I have some right here. And we put them in our pockets, and then we get back to the hotel room, and the room keys wouldn't work.
The only reason I didn't have that problem, you had that problem, and couldn't figure it out. I didn't have that problem because I had one of those Jimmy wallets that I was carrying around in my under my shirt.
Ah, sign of a true geek.
But that we went in, you tried it like five or six times. Like, if it didn't work one time, I'm going to try it a second time. And I thought, but anyway, that's why I didn't have the problem, because I had it in my Jimmy wallet. But
now I've got a Faraday wallet.
You know what? You were just going to let it go at saying a leather wallet. That's what gets me.
I read the description. I was a little confused because I didn't see any metal in it.
No.
So it must be there.
I told.
How do you know the metal is
there?
Well,
see, here's how it would happen. Mark Shepard said, we need to order him something. I was like, yeah, you know, I thought about it. And, you know, and he's like, no, we need to do it. And I was like, okay. So he's like, can you help me pick one out? Okay. Of course, we started with Amazon, looked around, and then I was like, wait a minute. Let's see what ThinkGeek has for wallets. And, of course, they had the dot matrix, the barcode paper, the dot matrix paper, the tractor fee paper wallet. And I was like, no, that's not going to work. And then we went on. I was like, oh, the RFID blocker thing. Because, see, if you're overseas, if you have your passport with you and it'll block people being able to read that, and it has an RFID in it.
Thank you for explaining that to me.
So there you
go. I feel so much more complete, and now I can brag better at work.
Clueless.
Hey, sometimes we miss things. I did read the description. I couldn't put two and two together because I only count up to one.
Oh, thanks for the wallet.
It was still a great gift. I smiled. I was like, a wallet. This is so cool.
Is it a nice wallet?
It's a nice wallet. I also got another package the very next day.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
From Mad Marv. He got me more of those seaweed chips.
Oh, man. You know, I ate every bit of those that I got last time.
And some macadamia Hershey's Kisses.
Oh, man. Are you kidding?
Now, the good news is my family hates those seaweed chips. I love them.
They were good.
And I just polished off the bag from Christmas, like, last week.
Last week?
I make them last.
Mom was gone like within the week.
Oh, man. I think I'd be seriously disturbed in the intestines if I did that all in 1 week.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I did take them to work and shared them with some other people.
Did anybody like them?
Yeah. Yeah. One other guy did. He really liked them, and I did too. So we kind of, you know, gave him a little bit. I did have to take some of the chocolates with me to work because that was a lot of chocolate he sent at Christmas time.
Yeah.
It was like four boxes. I was like, I kept a box at home for myself, and then I took some other ones and of course told them where it was from. But yeah, it was good stuff. Pretty good stuff.
They were very good. Want to give a shout out to the people in the chat room. We've got Absoblug and Lutely. Almost tripped over that one. The April Fool is in there.
Get off the floor, Andy.
Country Signs, DQB. Greg from Dancing with Elephants is there. Ringmaster Greg has joined us. We've had so much cross-promotion recently. East Bay Ant and Caffeinated One, JT from the GigCast, Lord Cat, Mad Marv, who we were just talking about, sent those seaweed chips and things, Mark Shepard.
Hey, by the way, East Bay Ant liked your Disturbed in the Intestines.
There is a chat room going on. We'll mention that right now during the show when we record this on Sunday nights. Mike McBride, Missing Intellect, Paul from Des Moines, Philip from Australia, Scott Reynolds, who provides us with this audio stream so graciously every Sunday night.
Hey, oh, is Scott a Web 2.0 kind of guy? It's Scudder. With no E.
It's kind of like PrintR. You're a PHP programmer. Soul Blaze and Tim Elliott has joined us. Thank you, everybody, for jumping in.
Tim Elliott rounding in out.
We also want to give, looking at the, here, wait. There. Looking at the... listener birthday calendar, we've got Brian K apparently from my blog.
No, he's from my blog.
And Joel McLaughlin, a.k.a. Gorkin, who have a birthday on the 4th, which would be the day this is released. Happy birthday to both of you. And the very next day, three more birthdays, Chad Davis and John Isler, a.k.a. Hecklestiff, and Griffin Sylvester, a.k.a. Ildrian Cipher. I'm having a hard time reading these in the certain font there, and you can't always tell your I's from L's.
Oh, wait.
And... yes.
I want to do this one.
Who do we have on the 5th?
The Ringmaster Greg from Dancing with Elephants.
You're our lucky third caller.
Yeah, you get nothing.
You get this.
Happy birthday, baby. Shoebop, shoebop. You know you're driving me crazy all night long. Here's a birthday with you from the Technorama crew. Happy birthday, baby. Shoebop, shoebop.
Yeah. We want to give you that old 45 RPM feeling, so we throw skips in there just for the fun of it. No, I honestly don't know what that's from.
Poor
apparently
skip.
Some machine somewhere in this poor area is having a hard time keeping up. Happy birthday to everybody. If you don't happen to be in this week's list, put your name on the listener birthday calendar. Go to chuckchat.com/wiki. Look for fun and games, and you will see the listener birthday calendar there. You will need to log in and put your name there. If it's not on the birthday and it still happens to be your birthday, happy birthday. Best wishes from all of us here at Technorama to you. And now the news. Do we get to do the news? We get to do the news?
Let's do it. Come on, man.
Good news, everyone.
Uh-oh. I don't like the sound of that.
This is a special report.
SETI at home finds something. This is Technorama News. I'm Chip Querty reporting. SETI at home is a distributed processing client from UC Berkeley that installs on volunteers' home computers and harnesses their processing power in search of extraterrestrial intelligence. So far, nothing noteworthy has come from the massive project. Until today. One of the volunteers was able to track down his wife's stolen laptop using an IP address that SETI at home client reported back to the server. After getting the laptop back, his wife was reported as saying, "I always knew that a geek would make a good husband." Right. Chip Querty, Technorama News.
Your local news is next.
Hey, Chip Querty's back.
Yeah, Chip's come back. He got over his tan at Los Alamos.
His really awesome tan. If you don't know what we're talking about, go back to the last show, listen to the news segment. Jack Ethernay was sitting in. And since it is just after April Fool's, we're going to cover some of the ones we've heard about. Google has been busy.
Yes, it looks like it.
Have you seen these?
No, I'm pulling them up now.
Google has a new service called TISP. Sign up for our free online in-home wireless broadband service. Sick of paying for broadband that you have to, pay for? Introducing Google TISP Beta, of course, our new free in-home wireless broadband service. Sign up today and we'll send you your TISP self-installation kit, which includes setup guide, fiber optic cable, spindle, wireless router, and installation CD. Now, if you go into this and you do the get started, the wireless literally gets flushed down the toilet.
Yeah, I was going to say, the picture they show is these two, this mother and the child on the internet, and there's a toilet in the background.
With the cable running right down the loo.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
They also came out with Google Paper.
They have to put their mark on everything, don't they?
That's right.
Yeah.
And the banner ads and things will be on the backside.
Here you go. Is it free? Yes. The cost of postage is offset with the help of relevant, targeted, unobtrusive advertisements, which will appear on the back of your Gmail paper prints in red bold, 36-point Helvetica. No pop-ups, no flashy animations, and these are physically impossible in the paper medium. What? Sorry, that last part tripped me up. Get your Gmail on paper. Hey, you should put this in the next... You should have made a Gmail podcast today with this.
My timing was just a little off. I almost made a Gmail podcast about that. Gmail podcast.
Paper.
Send spam.
Yeah, Gmail paper. Oh, okay.
Gmail's done it again. They've introduced a new feature for making it easier for spammers to send spam. Send them your entire address book, and they'll send you spam and your friends. It's a new feature available only in the U.S., but will be coming out shortly. Sorry, it kind of writes itself.
Yes, it does.
But my timing was off. You may see something crazy like that come up in the future.
Yeah. That wacky podcast.
All right. Yeah. Isn't it nice of Google to write Technorama material for us? Do you think anybody else's podcast is going to be covering that? Okay, well, you know, our mantra in the past has been, you know, we don't cover the news stories about Google, Microsoft, and Apple. Everybody else does those. Technorama covers the odd and unusual stuff. But since Google was nice enough to write some odd and unusual stuff, hey, it's ours.
Thanks, man.
And finally, Quanta to sell the $100 laptop to everyone.
No.
This is that $100 laptop.
Wait.
What?
This is not going to April Fool's section.
This does not?
No.
No, it's not in the April Fool's. It's still in the news section. We're out of April Fool's, by the way.
Yeah, we're out of April Fool's. But the company that makes the $100 laptop, Quanta, they said they're going to sell the regular one to developed countries for about $200 a piece.
Then it's not the $100 laptop.
Not anymore, but it will be for somebody else. Well, in developing countries, they'll be able to buy it for $100 a piece. But
the device initially will sell for around $150. Now, yeah. Which is it? Is it the $100, $150, or $200 laptop, right, or does it matter how much RAM you got?
Let's look back at this. It was going to be $100, which they came in close, to be honest with you. They said it's going to cost about $150 initially, and it's going to the price will drift down to about $100 over time. But to offset some of the price of manufacturing, they're going to sell to developed countries this same laptop for about $200 to $250, which I think is, there's nothing wrong with that. I'd buy one because actually I think it'd make a really good ebook reader.
Hey, I could probably use one here for playing clips so it doesn't skip.
Duh.
Duh.
Anyway, I thought it was pretty good, and it looks like it was confirmed that we're actually going to be able to buy these things.
Well, I hope to see him soon.
Yeah.
Real quick break, and then we come back with Hacks and Strange Stories.
Let's do it, man. Gee, Wally.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Not many people know what it's like in the trenches. Just the few, the brave, the system administrators, and IT professionals. Now, there's a podcast just for you and the battles you face every day.
Come on, boys, keep that network up!
Incoming user complaints!
Strengthen that security on the double!
We're crashing! Game over, man! Game over!
Listen to In the Trenches with Kevin Devon and George Starcher at kevindevon.com. War is hell. Learn the best ways to survive.
Who ordered the low-fat triple mocha latte?
In the Trenches.
Be a part of the Friends in Tech community. Visit the Fit Forums at forums.friendsintech.com.
Hacks and Strange Stories. The first story is up from Bookaroo. He writes on how to control a remote robot with a Nintendo DS. Actually, the robot's got a Nintendo DS in there. You can sign in. This is like one of those remote webcam things where you get in line.
Oh, I was like, what is this? I see.
No, it's you can move the robot forward. Let's see.
I'm on it.
Please stand by for your turn. You can move it forward, right, left, back, turn the laser on and off.
Guess what?
Turn the cam on and off.
Do you know who I...
It's just this little...
Wait a minute.
What?
I'm blah.
You're blah? I'm waiting in line behind you? Or
yeah,
is
you're waiting
Natrium
on me.
Natrium 42.
No, I'm number one.
Okay, drive the thing.
I'm trying. Turn it.
It's not even on in the frame.
It isn't. Oh, the dog took it off. It says I got a minute left. I want to turn right. I want to do something. Laser? Cool.
You drive like you got mittens on.
Laser beam. Oh, well. Wait a minute. Laser
beam. We also have a story from Runtime. Well, you're trying to figure out how to run the robot. A story from Runtime called The Traction King. If you live in the north where it's snowy and you remember the old rear wheel drive cars, you probably remember that you had to add a bucket of sand or a something to the trunk to make your rear wheels heavier to get better traction. Well, this is all in I don't know, German? Yeah, it's German, and the site is all in German. But apparently it's a block of something that goes on the back of your bike to get better traction.
Well, it's like a salt lick. You might attract some deer on the way.
You have mad rabid deer running after you.
Yeah, right. Go, hey, it's an incentive to go faster.
How fast can deer run? Pretty darn fast.
It's just a freaking block, man. Ultimate bike safety major. I don't get it. Okay. It's in German. That's why I don't get it. Anyway.
Right. Maybe one of our German listeners can help us translate it and tell us why it's so funny.
Do they really need
it? Our next story up is from battlebricks.com. This is the WeGoBot, and somebody has made a robot which takes your Wii remote. Craig will like this because it's got Wii written all over it.
Yeah, I'll put it in here.
And this thing swings the remote perfectly to allow you to bowl a perfect game. Yeah. Kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
Well, they used the Lego NTNX kit where you build robots with it. Well, what they've done...
NXT. Lego NXT.
Yes, that's right. And what they've done is they've made a bot with the Wii remote right in the middle, and they programmed it, and they have a screenshot of the software, which looks pretty cool. I really wish I could get one of these robots. Anyway... He has it set up to kick off and play a perfect game on the Wii. It's kind of funny. So anyway, you can see it.
And the final story in the Hacks and Strange Stories from CNETnews.com. A streaker disrupts the opening of a virtual city hall in Second Life.
Now remember when I was dissing on the Swiss? Was it that we're going to open up a consulate in Second
Life? An embassy
life?
Or something? Yeah, yeah.
The Dutch city and opened up in Second Life a city hall. There were a bunch of people there and virtually to see the ceremony. They were going to have like a ribbon cutting type thing. I'm like, you know, it's in Second Life. It just seems so silly. But somebody's character strips naked and runs off.
So, is this really newsworthy?
Yeah, because it kind of proves my point how silly this is.
We're taking news stories out of the gaming world and putting them into the real world.
In meat space.
meat space. We're taking cyber news and turning it into meat news.
It says a city employee hurriedly removed the virtual rider from the city hall with a click of the mouse.
Now that would be dangerous in meat space.
Boy, I bet the government would love that, wouldn't it? circle these people and just make them just... Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was funny.
Alrighty, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back with the Media Corner, where we've got a couple more interesting stories, shall we say?
Yeah, Media Corner, the Media Corner.
Faster at typing than a bullet. More powerful at debugging code than a locomotive. Able to leak tall servers at a single bound. Yes, it's Super Geek. Starring Craig Stepp as the man of code and Chuck Chet as the tenacious reporter Jimmy Eldap. Make sure you catch the next exciting episode by tuning in to Technorama, a Friends in Tech production.
This is Terry Dawson from the Appleton Public Library, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
You're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
I still say they're doing this as some kind of public service for a crime they won't admit to.
Oh, and back to you, Chuck and Craig.
Oh.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
You know, I was just thinking that Superman song would make a good song to brush your teeth to. Flying around with one arm out in front. Hey, you
know, oh, piece of kryptonite.
Ah! Kryptonite toothpaste.
Spit it out, spit it out.
R.I.B. Focus.
Superman, why are you foaming at the mouth? Crypto what? All right, sorry. All right, yeah.
Going from Superman to Batman.
Yeah, speaking of Batman, Variety.com reports that Batman the video game is coming, much in the vein of the Star Wars Lego games. I really like the Star Wars Lego games myself. If you haven't seen them, they look like the little minifigs. Remember, we talked about those, Chuck. The minifigs with the Legos, and you shoot them and in the Star Wars game, and they fall apart. And so there's no real killing. It's more like you're busting up the pieces. Anyway, they had an online vote, and overwhelmingly, people wanted a Batman-themed Lego game. So that's in the works, and it's coming soon, and I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Did they give a timeline?
Let's see. Did they say? I think it said next year.
Here it is. Lego Batman will follow a similar template, yep, and Warner will release it in 2008 on multiple consoles.
There you go.
Oh, very interesting. Yeah, that does sound good. You know, I'm...
See, now we need to get you a Wii.
Getting there. You know who's going to use it the most is my daughter Lisa would use it all the time.
Well, wait a minute. The reason I say that is because y'all do a lot of family stuff, especially together. And I think that this will probably be perfect for you guys because it's got the bowling and stuff. You know, all y'all would get into it.
Is there like karate?
Give it some time. There might be.
I'm getting pretty good with the bow staff. The Wii remote ought to be able to do something like that, right?
Well, it comes with boxing, you know, so, you know, it can't be that big of a stretch to do.
You know, kind of funny that Phil Clark sent us that clip a long time ago, and we just happened to play it now, because he also sent, you'll find it in the show notes, there's a link to Greg the Architect. It's called SOA This. If you don't know what SOA is, you go to this video, and it'll help teach you a little bit about SOA This and SOA That, and they start making all kinds of different acronyms, and they're trying to sell this character. It's all done with these old plastic animatronics, or not animatronics, little plastic toys.
Right.
And you see the boss, and he's underneath a life-size shoe. his head is squished underneath this shoe. And then
I've had that thought before.
Greg the Architect comes up and goes, "Hey, boss, you seem to be under a bit of pressure." His head's getting squished on.
Right.
But there's a lot of more fun stuff in there. This is actually put out by the company that Mr. Clark works for. So good stuff. Oh. Thank you for sending it in. Makes it into the media corner, makes life interesting.
That's right.
Now we have
now the next thing.
Bad news.
Yeah, the next thing up I saw, or actually came to my attention by Clinton over at the Comedy Forecast. He mentioned that the Back to the Future ride at Universal Florida is no more after the 30th of March. And I've rode this thing before, and if you haven't, I'm sorry, you can't now. But did you ride it?
I did.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Fall of 2005. Yeah.
And I think they were actually supposed to decommission it last September, and they waited until March, Metro this year. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was cool. You know, you fly around in the DeLorean, in a huge DeLorean, because like four or five people can fit in it, but you're flying around it and really gets you the feeling like you're falling, and you go back in time, you're looking for Biff, and he's got like the other DeLorean.
I guess the Mr. Fusion finally gave out.
I guess there's no spoilers now that the game, it's not even there anymore, so anyway.
It was a good ride.
It was a good ride.
Speaking of Clinton from Comedy Forecast, if you haven't listened to, what was the show, 103 of his, or 104?
Something
106?
Like that.
106.
Yeah.
He did a parody of Twit, which he called Tweeze, This Week in Electronic Stuff. And it is funny. It's about 6 minutes of just a great parody. He's got the cranky old geek sort of John C. Dvorak. It's John C. QWERTY, and Leo Laporte is Leo LaHub.
Yeah, and he had.
I never realized how suitable these names were for parody.
Yeah, and you know John Bell from Bells in the Bat Free. He was Leo in that episode.
Oh, is that what he? Oh, he does a pretty good Leo.
Yeah, he did a real good job. He did a real good job. Yeah, go check that out.
Bandwidth for This Week in Electronic Stuff is provided by BitTorrent.
So go over to comedy4cast.com and you'll find it.
Another good short podcast to add to your repertoire.
That's right. Hey, and I also, since we're in the median quarter, we're talking about movies and stuff. I took my son yesterday to go see, or I'm sorry, last Saturday to go see the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie.
The new one.
And, you know,
No spoilers. What'd you think?
No, I'm not going to go any spoilers. The animation was fantastic. The story, it's a little on the, I won't say weak, on the thin side a little bit, but then let me back up. The plot points and everything, the story to a point, no, it wasn't weak, but there were some things that they kind of glossed over, but it was more of a kid's movie. However, that said, I really did like the story. The animation was top notch. There's this fight scene when the two characters are in the rain and you see the rain on one of the turtles' heads and, you know, as they're getting ready to fight, man, it was really just a fun movie to go see. And I would highly recommend that to anybody. So if you got a kid, I took my 5-year-old, you know, anything I think about on up, he had a little trouble getting some of the stuff. So a lot of times I'm going, remember back in 3,000 years, da, da, da. You know, I'm just like trying to tell him, fill him in, but you know, but anyway, it's probably a little over his head, but older kids, like 7, 10, something like that, perfect. It was awesome. I really liked it.
I did all the motion tracking for Leonardo.
Did you? Is that what it was? I thought I recognized that.
That was me.
Ah, I recognize that.
I didn't want to spoil it.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed it.
All right, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back with the Geek Library, final segment of the show.
Hang on a minute. What? You said library, not library.
Library. You know why I said that? Because one of these pages I have up on a tab keeps throwing audio comments at me. Nobody hears it except me. Yes, it's really there. This is not my imagination. And I just heard, "Danger, Will Robinson." Okay. You'd be distracted too if just these random quotes came up every few minutes.
Yeah, I do every time I talk to you for the Technorama.
We'll be right back.
There's people else, you know, but and plane, you know, when it's by wing planes, span the hold on. Superman and Finals and all areas supposed to incorporate everything. Maybe I need to go over there and head that check that out. What I'm getting at, I guess, is express milk 3 nos. 1790 is greater than 3 divided by 6, and it's the same number of.
Here he goes again.
In the, or possibly earlier, or possibly day earlier. A day earlier.
Technorama. It'll leave you speechless.
Oh, well.
This is Monaudio, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama. Yeah.
And turning to the Geek Library. That was a paperback book.
I feel like I've been assaulted.
Now, it's up to the listener to figure out which book that was.
Oh, let's see. Let me hear that again.
You want to hear it again? You want a hint? Yep. I started reading this book 14 years ago, and I never finished it. I'm making it a mission to finish all my unfinished books.
I was
going to
say, that's really... I don't know. That's a clue. All right.
It has nothing to do with the Geek Library, but moving on.
I'll tell you
along.
What, wait a minute. Give us a hint, and we'll see if anybody can email in and ask and figure it out.
Author known from another medium.
No, wait. You got to say something about the book, not the author. It's a good head.
Okay. Sci-fi book.
Okay, thanks, Chuck, for playing.
It's hard to do without giving it away, because if I say the author's name, you're going to go, oh, yeah, I know
okay.
who that is.
All right.
Series of about six or seven that I know of.
It's Porn for Dummies.
No, he's actually not known best as an author. He's known best for another medium. I'm going to leave it at that. See if anybody can get that.
Okay.
Getting into the Geek Library.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you put the first link in there? Prepping the shuttle?
No, I did not.
You didn't? Oh, somebody must have...
Oh, wait. Yes, I did. I'm sorry. Yeah. This link is a set of pictures of them actually assembling the shuttle and, you know, where they're cleaning it and putting all the engines in place. And you can look at all these pictures. It's kind of like a timeline. You just scroll down. You can see all the different procedures they go through to get it done. I guess so in a larger overview, not like, you know, I'm tightening the screw. But you can go check it out. Anyway, you can see all the way till they're rolling it out of the thing. It's cool. Well, actually, I take it back. All the way to launch.
It is pretty neat. I mean, they start with the tank retrieval from the ocean and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's... Great photos, too, I gotta admit. After being at Kennedy Space Center, it's like, oh, I can picture right where that is. I know where that is.
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat.
Yeah, it is.
We also have a link in here. Did you submit this one? I think you put all three of these in here, so you might as well keep going.
No, I don't know what this is.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll read it off. This is a way to get all kinds of system information, including your serial number. SIW, the System Information for Windows, performs computer configuration analysis and diagnostics. It gives detailed information about your computer properties and settings, detailed specs for software, hardware, network, real-time monitors, get your GED, or take classes at night. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Works on Microsoft Windows 98 MENT 2000. XP Server 2003 Media Center Tablet PC, Windows 2003 Server R2, you know, just basically everything, including Vista. So, nice little, I believe it's free. Free.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
I don't see a click to buy here.
It said, if you go to download, it says buy technician's version. Actually, I assume there's a free version and a technician's version.
Probably for like home and then, yeah.
Home version. Who needs a computer in their home?
We'll include the link, but for those of you who just want to go check it out right now, it's gtopala.com. gtopala.com? G2pala? Gtapala? Oh, because it's Gabriel Tapala. That makes sense. We're on it now. You can tell we've used this every day for the last 15 years, right?
Yeah, right on my Mac. No, I'm just kidding.
And finally, from PCWorld.com.
Yes, it's yet another.
The magic number appears again.
Yet another 101 fantastic freebies list. And just go click through. They got a bunch of them. They got this one they got in categories and different, you know, organized a couple different ways. You can go check it out. And there's system utilities with Vista tweaks, da la la, free email, all that good stuff. Anyway, go check it out. That's the 101. PC World's fantastic freebie list.
That brings us to the end of the show, right? Right?
Yes. And I want another challenge to the listeners. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. I want to do a new segment called What If. Okay? Now work with me here. The What If segment. Remember we have this one. Remember me and you were kidding about mixing up What If Battlestar Galactica and Futurama got mixed up.
What if those X-ray specs you order from the comic books really worked?
Yeah. No. Well, yeah, I guess it'd be anything. I want to do a what if segment, and I want somebody, and I'll do one. I'll do the next one. I'll do the first one. How about that? But I want anybody that thinks of two things or what if something this or another.
What if Craig was a Cylon?
Yeah. But I want you got to talk about it for about a minute. Send us an audio recording and we'll use it in the show. Or you can type it up and me and Chuck can produce it.
Are they coming up with the idea and we have to embellish on it? Or are we asking for a full-on scripted document?
I was asking for everybody to make something and just send it in. But that might work too. Actually, you know what? You can suggest two things and me and Chuck will hash it out.
If you suggest it on the listener line at 206-222-CHAT, we could run with that on the listener feedback show. That might be interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah.
What if a comet hit the Earth? No, that'd be too easy. What if... okay, well, anyway, let the listeners decide what they want to decide. You know, I
What if Technorama was a disease and not a podcast?
We'd have to change names, wouldn't we? I often have random thoughts like this as I'm driving down the road. And if you're like me, which I know I am, you'll want to call the listener line and give us that idea, and we'll see where it goes. Or you can email it to us at 206-22... That's not an email address. You can email it to us at technorama@chuckchat.com.
Yeah, something like that.
You should have seen the expression on my face right there. That was pretty priceless.
So remember, what if? Let us know. You can throw us a topic and we'll talk about it, or you can record something and justify what, you know, kind of make some sense out of what you're thinking.
My brain needs defragging.
Yeah. Hey, what if Chuck and Craig were Scientology Cylons?
I'm not even going to try and figure that out. It hurts my brain.
Wow.
You can also visit the website at chuckchat.com for forum swag, webcam, mail list, links to the show notes, and much, much more. We want to thank Mad Marv for all his wonderful content he provides during the week. If you're not getting the full RSS feed, jump in there and subscribe, and you will get all the articles. He comes up with some pretty bizarre stuff, which would make for another wonderful Technorama show just in itself. The show is a proud member of Friends in Tech.
Right.
You can find out more about this and other many, many shows at friendsintech.com. Also have a wonderful blog running there. Audio streaming is provided graciously by Scott Reynolds every Sunday night. If you happen to be around, give us a listen. There are the occasional music clips in this show provided by Scott Helms from Incoherent Mumblings, whose feed I haven't seemed to been able to get to work lately. I don't know what happened to him. Chat room provided by freenode.net. You can jump in there, have a party with everybody else. They're just hanging out and making smart aleck comments at us. It's kind of like throwing rotten fruit in the old days. This is the e-rotten fruit.
Yeah.
If you're getting this show the old-fashioned way by listening to it on the website, clicking on that link, that's a great way to listen, but there is a better way to get it automatically delivered to you for free.
Right into your ears.
Send us an email. We can tell you how that's done. Tell a friend about Technorama, and until the next time we step up to this microphone, please give us a binary high five.
101.
Thank you and good night.